Grace and peace to you from God, who is our Father and our Mother, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. About a week ago, a Facebook post was going around that said, "That heavy feeling that you feel, that sense of dullness and difficulty focusing, that deep tiredness in your bones, that's grief. That's the grief that we're all sharing at this time of COVID-19. Seminary professor Rolf Jacobson wrote last Sunday morning, "In these days, one of the first grim tasks of every morning is to see what work death has done. In the last 24 hours, how many new lives has death taken? What is the new overall total of deaths due to the pandemic? Has anyone notable died? That is, someone that everyone knows. Has anyone personal died? That is, someone that I know. What work has death done today?" Checking in on the work of death was the first thing that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had to do that first Easter Sunday morning. Someone who was both notable and personal had fallen victim to death. Jesus of Nazareth was notable. Almost everyone in the area knew who he was. The itinerant rabbi who did signs and wonders, whom some said was the long-awaited Messiah. And the women who came that morning, the same women who had stayed at the cross to the very end, even to see him buried. For them, this death is deeply personal as well. They came to the tomb that morning to do the work of grief and love. It was little enough what they could do, simply to complete what had not been done on Friday because it was the Sabbath, by preparing the body with herbs and ointments for proper burial. But when they reached the tomb, what they found was incredible. Truly beyond belief. The heavy stone was rolled away. Jesus wasn't there. Instead, a young man in a white robe, an angel, greeted them. He said, "Do not be alarmed." Angels almost always say that. "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified one." The angel describes Jesus as the one who was crucified, the one who gave himself completely in love for us, even being willing to suffer and die. Then he continues, "He has been raised. He is not here. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him just as he told you." The angel gives the women specific directions. "Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee." The angel singles out Peter because, if you remember, Peter has essentially removed himself from the company of the disciples. When Jesus was being tried and the crowd was getting worked up to see him killed, Peter denied 3 times that he even knew Jesus. One of the first acts of the angel in the face of resurrection is an act of reconciliation. "Go tell the disciples and Peter. Invite Peter along. He is welcomed back. Although he denied Jesus, Jesus will not deny him, but will meet him with the others in Galilee." The angel also says, "Tell them Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." With these words, the angel, and through him, Jesus, is inviting the women and the disciples into a new and unknown future. The women come to the tomb to say goodbye. Instead, they receive a word that draws them forward into a future they cannot yet see or imagine. They are called by faith to move into a new reality, drawn forward by the promise of Jesus. Now, we're all ready to hear the story continue. We're ready to hear the stories of what happens when the women tell the disciples. What happens when they get to Galilee to meet him? What happens next? And some of these stories are written in the other Gospels and in the book of Acts. But Mark ends his Gospel here at the tomb with the women caught up in terror and amazement, too afraid to say anything. It's a good Easter Gospel for this particular Sunday. Many years, we gather at church on Easter Sunday and the mood is triumphant. Everything beautiful and bold, the alleluias loud and the colors bright. But this year, our alleluias and Easter colors are a bit muted. We are caught in the amazement and terror of the news that comes into our homes every day. News from around the world and around the country, of new infections and new restrictions, shortages of masks and ventilators and how many have died, new estimates of joblessness and projections of economic depression. But we too receive the promise of Easter morning. Jesus is no longer in the tomb. Death could not keep him. Where will Jesus meet us? He will meet us on the way. He will meet us as we too go about the work of love and grief in this new world, as little as our work may seem. Jesus will meet us as we live into a future changed by COVID-19, but still redeemed by the death and resurrection of Jesus. This is the nature of Easter faith. We are called forward into a future we do not yet see, trusting in the promise of the risen Christ. It's a promise that has not fully come to pass, as we know so well this year. We still live in a world filled with injustice, suffering, and fear. But it is all the promise we need. Because it is the promise of God, given in the moment when God defeated death and sin forever. It is the promise of eternal life, life in the reign of God, life in the love and mercy of God, beginning now and perfected when Jesus will come again. Alleluia, Christ is risen. We go into an unknown future together, trusting this promise and following this risen Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.